You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel and chapter 12. And as we've been looking at the Old Testament prophets, as they point to the future, and so we're taking the Old Testament prophets and getting a window to see the future from their point of view, from where they were coming from. And so we've been doing that and have done that. And here's Daniel. And Daniel is, as we've gone through the book of Daniel, Daniel in chapter 12 and verses 10, chapters 10, 11, and 12 all belong together in the last vision. So, keeping that in mind, if you would, and in the process, history outworks itself. And we just had an election. And where does elections come from? Way back in Genesis chapter 11, after the Genesis flood, mankind built a tower and a city. Tower, religion. A city, politics. What has been running the world since then? Religion and politics. The two most relevant things are the most neglected, most misunderstood. In the name of what we, us humans do what we do, and we count on the government, whatever it is, and we count on religion, whatever we believe. We count on it. That's how we do it. It doesn't mean we understand it. We don't. It's just there. It's there like just belongs there. So, religion and politics. And that's where we are. And then the trouble is with religion and politics throughout history and where we're going. And then the God of this world, the devil himself, is in charge of the religion and politics. And that sort of gives you a clue. Religion and politics to people, you know, we just do whatever between you guys doing whatever. That's fine. I can still go get my groceries and do whatever. And the devil does his thing, is doing his thing. So it's interesting, I think. So in looking at the Old Testament, they're looking into the future, and here we are on our way into the future. So Daniel in chapter 12, and we share together in verse 8. And I heard, it said Daniel, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Remember the different word end. Everything ends, but just before the end, what happens just before the end? That's that word. There's an end, but then there's an end. The end of something, but the end of part of it is all working out. The ends of everything, and then there's the end. Now, so, and Daniel wants to know. He's looking at chapter 10, chapter 11, verse 36, all the way down to verse 45, etc. The Antichrist and his maneuvers and his management in the temple, etc. And Daniel said, I'd like to know, how does this go? And verse 9, and he said to Daniel, go thy way, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now that's the other end, the end. That's the end of something. Now, having said that, and looking at that, So, and able to do that without mixing up things here, chapter 12 in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. That's Genesis chapter 10, where all the nations started. As never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Every one of them shall be found written, every one that shall be found written in the book of life, etc. So, here we are looking. It's a time of trouble like no time ever. So, let's look at that, see that a little bit, because Daniel would like to understand. What could Daniel understand? What could Daniel be understanding? So here's Jeremiah, here's Daniel. Daniel's living, Jerusalem has been leveled, Nebuchadnezzar, here's Jeremiah's gone and Isaiah's gone. What could you be knowing, Daniel, that we should know in answer to, help me understand what the end is? Well, what did you know? So therefore, going to chapter 24 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24. What is there to be known that Daniel could know? And in Daniel chapter 24, looking at the end, we just read, there's a time of trouble like never before. So, here's chapter 24 of Daniel on that subject. Verse 1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, he maketh it waste, he turneth it upside down, scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with their mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury interest, so with the giver of usury interest to him. So everyone, it includes everybody, every way you want to look at a human being. Sliding down, if I can. I'll have to read it, I guess. Verse 3. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. The Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty, proud people of the earth, do languish. Now, verse 5, why? The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left, etc. Looking now, you keep reading, at the tribulation. And here's the tribulation. And going back to verse 5, they have broken the everlasting covenant. And looking at that everlasting covenant in the different windows, go over to Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55, you will note, and all of these covenants, all of this is to the whole world. This isn't just to Israel. This is to everybody. God's, as we're reading, God's looking at all humanity, looking at all humanity when he's talking. So therefore, Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Verse 3, "Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." I'm going to make a covenant. I made a wonderful covenant way back in yesterday, way back with Noah. And I told Noah in chapter 9, 8 and 9, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant, everlasting, that I will not flood the earth again. Flooding the earth and eliminating people didn't work. The sons of Noah didn't change. The human nature's the same, so it didn't work. And I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky to tell you that. So when you see the rainbow, you know I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to flood. Now, and then you went to Abraham, and you made the everlasting covenant, Noah, Abraham. And Abraham comes along in chapter 12 of Genesis, etc. And he makes a covenant with Abraham that he'd bless all humanity because he's going to bless Abraham. Abraham is doing what? Believing God. What do you want us humans to do? To believe God. That's what he wants. So here's the Noahic covenant, everlasting. The Davidic covenant, everlasting. The Abrahamic covenant, everlasting. Humanity, it puts it all aside. Puts it all aside. So everything that keeps coming in history, all the dispensations and everything, as they go down the corridor of time, are rejected. They reject everything that God tries to do to help him. And humanity has its politic and its religion, and the God of this world keeps 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, and then you underline, that don't believe. When you don't believe, you're blinded spiritually, and the devil keeps the world blinded by politic and religion. So you don't have to say, you just do what you do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I may, then go over, if you would, to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, picking up, as you remember these things, chapter 30, looking at the tribulation again, but just tie it all together. There'll be a time like no other time on the face of the earth. And in Genesis, chapter 30, excuse me, Jeremiah and chapter 30. And in chapter 30, going if I can to verse 6, "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is a great is great, so that none is like it. It is even at the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It's a time of awful time. So Daniel wants to know. God's told Daniel 12, etc. There's a time like never going to happen, and we've been reading it, and all of this is known. All of this can be known to Daniel in a most wonderful way. Going back over to Isaiah just for a moment. Back over to Isaiah, and in chapter 28. And if I can, Isaiah in 28, and picking up the thought. If I can, chapter 28, and you remember in verse 12. To whom he said, this is the test wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. God is trying to help them, and they don't want to listen. They have their politic, and they have their religion. They have their kings, they have their priests, they have their system. They don't need to listen. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, over and over, prophet, time after time, he keeps saying it, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, the politic. They love it so. And you remember that from Jeremiah. They loved it. The people loved the way the government system worked. And it was horrible. But it was better than God doing it. Better than God doing it. Now, so therefore, verse 15, because you have said, we have made a covenant, not with God, an everlasting covenant? No, we put that aside. We aren't doing that. No, we aren't. So, because you have said, we were made in covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement when the overflowing scourge shall pass through? It shall not come unto us. Nope, it's never going to hurt us. Nope. No communism or anything else. That'll never hurt us. No. With the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. We just put it all aside. And therefore, sliding over if I can, to verse 21. And for the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. That has to do with the Canaanites, or the Perizzites, I should say. And he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. So we have the Philistines, A, and B, the Canaanites. In other words, God dealt with the Philistines, God dealt with the Canaanites, that he may do this work, his strange work, which bring to pass his strange act. In other words, God's supposed to love us and make everything come out good. But it isn't coming out good. It isn't going to come out good, not from a human standpoint. Verse 22. Now, therefore, be not mockers. Don't make, say, God, that's, where's the promise of his coming? Second Peter, where's the promise of his coming? Yeah, nothing. Now therefore, be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. In other words, you get so hard in your heart, there's no way to ever get to you. Don't let that happen to you. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consuming, excuse me, to bring to an end destruction, even determined, appointed upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech, etc. God, it's coming again. Verse 22, there's a terrible, terrible destruction coming upon the whole earth. And the whole earth is going to pay. They have broken the everlasting covenant. They have put it all aside and they aren't even listening. They don't even care about listening. They don't care. So, and politics, and we wish we could fix things and change things, and we try. But you have to remember the human heart. If we aren't looking to God, literally, and looking to God and his word to get us through, the system is going to run the system. The world system works the world system. It doesn't work some. It doesn't work God's system. It's the world system, politic, religion, is against God. So, going over now, having got that little bit, Daniel, you could know all this. That's right. So when we come to the New Testament, here come the believers, Calvary's cross, and in the process, go with me over to Matthew and chapter 24. As you would remember. Now, remember Daniel wanted to understand. That's what we want to do. I want to understand. Now, he has understanding. We just read what he could know just as well as we, and probably better than us. So, chapter 24, the Lord's going to be crucified, but the disciples meet with him, and they have a question, as you know. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, the end of the age? That's what we want to know. So God, we'd like to know that. Help us with that. Down verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, because it's easy to be tricked and change. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass before the end. Is yet. They all must come. They all have to happen. Daniel wants to know, how's the ending? The angels want to know, how's the ending? So, over if we can, verse 12. And because iniquity, lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same should be saved. Now, keeping that in mind, now go over and do it again, over to 1 Peter. Add in 1 Peter. That was the disciples. Okay, so here's Peter. And in 1 Peter, Picking up again in verse 11. And here's the, I'll have to read verse 10. And of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. In other words, the Old Testament prophets like Daniel, they had it, but they didn't have it. Daniel said, I would like to understand. But God said, seal it up and close no more. No more for Daniel. So therefore, sliding down to verse 11. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, which we've been looking at a little bit. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, now they would like to know. They didn't know. They would have liked to know. They would have liked to. Daniel, David, and all of them. They would have liked to know, but they didn't know. No. What didn't they know? What we know. What? Look at chapter 1 where you're looking at that. The chapter 1 in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God, we're looking for God's wonderful, and I got to read verse 4 because you wouldn't connect that. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's wonderful, wonderful plan is a wonderful, wonderful future. Wonderful future. Now, verse 9. Receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your souls. But the Old Testament prophets never got all this real clear. So therefore, sliding down in chapter 10, go down to verse 13. To us guys, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes. So be looking to God in a most wonderful way, looking for God to do his wonderful thing. So the Old Testament, look, and here's the believers, and the believers are told they have an awesome future. A wonderful inheritance, a wonderful being heirs, being inheritors, as joint heirs with Christ. They have a joint wonderful future with him. That's why you're seated in heavenly places. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, picking up if I may. In verse 7, 4 and 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end. So here we are, and here they are in the days of Peter, and they're looking and understand the end. The end is at hand. It's there. It's you. You guys are living in the days after the crucifixion, the tribulations just ahead of you. Here we are, all this time has gone by, and here's Peter, way back there in 67 AD, or whatever, and here we are looking, we're closer to the tribulation sitting down right ahead of us. We're closer. It's at hand to him. Boy, is it at hand for us. We're closer than ever now. So therefore, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be for the unsaved? The unsaved. But the unsaved aren't asking about their end. They don't want to know it from heaven's point of view. They want to know it from an earthly point of view and a temporary point of view. So therefore, here's the sanctuary, etc. No, picking up that and staying on that for a little bit to lock it in, go over to catch it some more. The end, they're looking. So when we come to the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus is going to tie it together again. Revelation chapter 1. And you'll notice Revelation chapter 1. And picking up, please, going directly to verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of the alphabet. The beginning and the end and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I am that I am. I am who I am. I am. I'm the beginning and I am the end. The word end there is the word end that has to do with the fulfillment, the completion of anything. So that it's complete, finished, ended, the state, it's finished. Finished in what sense? It's done. In order that it might be an end, to have a beginning. An end, to have a beginning. Now, see it, watch it, if I can. Let me do a little more so you see it. Chapter 21, Revelation, chapter 21. And you'll notice in verse 6, just to see, saying it, I'm the ending. You can't understand, I'm the alphabet. That makes words, language. You aren't going to understand. You leave me out. There is no language. There is no way to make words to understand. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. And so, again, you're going to say it, 21. And in verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Same word. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And so chapter 22, and just to see it, he's going to say, I'm the end. Chapter 22, I'm going up again, verse 13. 22:13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he's going to keep saying it to help us understand God is going to do what he does in his most wonderful way. Now, now to get that, to get you what I'm just trying to say a little bit, over to Romans. And Romans in chapter 1. Just to start seeing it so you catch it. A little word end to complete, to finish, in order to have an arrival, to get somewhere, to start something. So therefore, Romans in chapter 1, picking up please in verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end. What end? What's the purpose of the end? That you may, to the end, that ye may be established. The end. I have an ending that you may be established. I'm doing something to make it so you can be solid, safe, established. Easier. Over to Romans 6. Romans in chapter 6. And picking up verse 21. What fruit? 6:21 Romans. What fruit Had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed. For the end of those things, what's the end? What did you get when you ended everything you did? What did you find out? You arrived at death. You found yourself at death. Next verse. But now, being made free from sin and become servants, slaves to God, have your fruit unto holiness, unto the end. What's the, when you end doing the right thing, what do you end up with? Everlasting life. You ended up with something. It ends to get you to the next thing. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful, wonderful care, helping us. Back over, if I can, in your Old Testament, over to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Going back and using an Old Testament believer to help us. God, we already know, you already know the end. And in Psalm, I meant to do it, I can. Psalm 73. And you remember the psalm, the believer, and it's all about what? Looking at the world around you, how things are going, and as we started politically, socially, any other way you want to look at it, religiously, whatever you want to do, and however you want to look at it. And we look at the world around us in a practical, real way. And verse 1, truly God is good to Israel. And when even so much, even to such as me, of a clean heart. But as for me, but such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, verse 2, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They just go through everything, living and dying, and just keep going. They just keep going. So therefore, it was very frustrating. So sliding over, if I can, as we're doing it, picking up, please, in verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. I get all upset looking at everything in life. I look at the things I don't understand. That's why we started with keeping. You have to understand the system, world system, is under the god of this world. You say, well, you're saved. That's good. But you still live in the world system. And the world system, whether it's politics and religion, is doing what it does all over the world in all different cultures and ways. That's what it's doing. And you can't stop it. You're in it. God saves you out of it. God isn't trying to save the system. He saved you out of the system, even though he leaves you in the system. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so here's the believer, frustrated. Verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, trying to share, trying to help them, trying to understand. Daniel wanted to understand. Until 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I needed to see it. Daniel, the angels, God, how's the ending? The ending is important. As you go down the corridor of time, you have to go down because everything is going to end. It's going to be and the ending is a terrible ending. A terrible ending for an awesome beginning, 1,000 years of the kingdom. Wow. But boy, is it going to be difficult. So, therefore, sliding down, I went into the sanctuary. I went and sat still. I went and sat still and listened to God. I needed to hear God. Sliding down, sliding down. As you know, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Though thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me into glory, God, to the end. And in the meantime, 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, God. You can't be replaced. So if I leave you out, I'm in darkness. God is light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But when we walk in the light, we aren't in the dark. And when we're in the dark without the light, then we're trying to get everything clear. But we can't get it clear in the dark. It has to be in the light to see it as it really is. So we don't get all caught up in someone did this and someone should have done that. All of those things are true. But you don't want to get caught up in that. You want to see it from heaven's point of view. God said, everything has to come to an end. It has to come to an end. Whatever you're looking at, it's going to end. So that's what you want to understand in a very good way. So now, in keeping that in mind, thus over to Psalm 42. As you know, and in Psalm 42, and remember now, all these that you're familiar with, but just tying them together. God, here we are. When I went into the sanctuary, I got my answers. I went to get and sit before God. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But they didn't do it. So, Isaiah, Psalm 42, you know, and here's David, and David is the, as not David, as David, but the Psalm, Psalm 42. As the hart panteth the deer after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What's the problem? That's why I'm in the sanctuary. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear? Before God? My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? Where is your God, you see? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, sanctuary, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I went with the right people, praising, looking to God. I wanted to be looking to God because they're an encouragement. I want to be looking to God. And therefore I talk to myself and give myself a good talking to. Verse 5, as you know, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, divided in my mind, worried about everything, wanting about everything, wondering about everything? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help, the healing, the hope of his countenance, his face. I'm looking to God. I'm looking to God. Looking to God to help me and to see it. I don't need God, like Daniel. God, how's it going to go? And the psalmist says, look to God. You're right in front of him, Daniel. Just look to him and understand. God has the beginning and God has the ending. God has it all. You want to look to God. Psalmist, what are you doing? Believer, I'm looking to God. Why am I cast down in my soul? I'm going to look to you, God. And when I look to you, God, where am I going to get an understanding? It isn't going to be trying to figure it out on the earth because I don't really get it. And if you don't give it to us, we aren't going to have it. So God, I got to keep looking to you. So therefore, Psalm 42, sliding over, verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, they never let up. Where is thy God, you say? That's why people don't say they even talk about God, because they have to answer for God. They have to answer. Therefore, verse 11, why art thou cast down? You're going to say it again. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the health, the healing, same word, deliverance. I will praise him for this health, the healing, deliverance of my countenance, my face, and my God. I look at God's face, and he has it all in his hands. And when I look at God's face, and I keep hearing the same, where is your God? And as I keep looking to God, he is content. And I am content because he is content. He has the ending. He has it all. He is the ending. He puts it all together. He is the one that has the beginning and the ending. And I just have to look to God to trust him. Because when, for us guys, when we receive him as our Savior, we receive Christ in us, as was said, the hope of glory. Christ said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. You want to know how things are going? Keep your eye on me. Keep your eye. Oh, I get all frustrated. Keep looking. And I will say, my comfort, if I could use the word, my assurance of having everything in order and having it all come out right. I have it, said God. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at me until what I, God, till what you have, all of this clearly, simply answerable. All of it's done. If I keep looking at you, that attitude, that smile, that thinking will become mine. Mine. My helper and my face. Where did you change? I kept looking, not all over the world. I didn't look at my own self. I didn't look at my circumstances. I looked to God. And God's peace became mine. God's joy became mine. I just kept looking. Didn't you have to do something? No. I just needed to understand that God has all the pieces all at once. And he's going to keep them all and make them all, they're all outworking themselves. They just have to work out. So I don't have to be like Daniel. How's the end going to come? I don't have to have it. I already know the ending. I am already talking and trusting the ending. Who be the same one who started it. I'm trusting the same one who ends it. And God will have to help me get to the next step. But I don't need a lot of answers. I need to thank you, God, that you are the answer for all and everything that you need to understand. God, you understand it. Thank you very much. And Daniel can trust God. No?